Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, a partner in PricewaterhouseCoopers, and tonight's conversation is with Gene Dodaro, Chief Operating Officer of the U.S. General Accounting Office. And joining me is Pat McNamee. Pat's also a partner at PwC. Well, Gene, let's spend this last segment looking ahead to the future. And I know the Comptroller General and you recently testified before Congress on managing in the new millennium, shaping a more efficient and effective government for the 21st century. Can you tell us about that testimony?
This was a very important opportunity provided by the Senate Committee on Governmental Affairs to take a look ahead at the federal government. And also, it was a venue for us to talk about our strategic plan to support the Congress in carrying out its responsibilities. The basic message of that testimony was that dynamics have changed markedly as we transition into the new environment and provide a lot of opportunities. For example, the Cold War has ended. We're also transitioning into the new millennium with a much different fiscal position, thanks to hard decisions by the Congress and the administration and a burgeoning economy. We're now in an era of budget surpluses rather than deficits. So we've slain the deficit dragon temporarily, although there are looming fiscal pressures as with the advent of the baby boom generation and changing demographics. But for the time being, we've got a window of opportunity here. And it's an opportunity to look at the dynamics that are changing the shape of the federal government and the environment which it operates in. Globalization, changing demographics, changing security threats, quality of life considerations are all changing the federal government's expectations for government and requiring it to be more responsive, results-oriented, bottom-line driven, and also more effectively managed and implemented. And also, there's a huge opportunity now with the budget surpluses to look ahead in a more long-term fiscal posture, to look at what the federal government does and how it conducts business. And there's really an opportunity and an obligation to look forward now and to really scrutinize the federal government's basic programs. A lot of programs were started many years ago for well-intended purposes. Times have changed. The environment has changed. And now is a good time to sort of take a look at that. And this testimony puts forth a couple of points along the management lines. Number one, it talks about the need to implement effectively the management reforms that were put in place in the 1990s, the Chief Financial Officers Act, the Government Performance and Results Act, the Clinger-Cohen Act, and basically says this was a very good set of management reforms that were put in place, but we really have to implement them effectively to reap the benefits of those reforms. And we also point out the missing element in management reforms, which is human capital in the federal government, and that the people side of government has not been attended to effectively and really needs attention and reform to make all these other management reforms work effectively and to help the federal government be responsive to the American people and to be more flexible as we enter into this new millennium and face new challenges facing the federal government. We also, in that testimony, talked about the opportunities for the Congress to look at different ways it can enhance oversight and work in a partnership manner with the GAO and with the executive branch in bringing about the type of federal government that we need to operate effectively in the 21st century.
Gene, as we talked about a little earlier, you've been very involved in technology issues for the government. What do you see as the impact of technology on the government in the years ahead?
I think technology holds tremendous promise for improving the responsiveness of government, the restoring confidence in government with citizens, and the ability to interact directly with the citizens, both in terms of answering their questions, helping them find information they need about their government, and also it has tremendous opportunities for the federal government to provide information to the public to increase public confidence and safety. There are a number of real issues, though, that are really important. Number one, the gap between the private sector investment and reaping the benefits of technology in the federal government is growing. About 40% of all capital investment by the year 2003 in the private sector will be for information technology investments. And really, as chairman of the Federal Board, Alan Greenspan, points out, a large part of the economic growth and development in the United States has been fueled now by productivity increases because of investments in information technology over a number of years. So that needs to be a contributing factor in improving government. Now, the key to government improving its performance is really effectively implementing the Clinger-Cohen Act of 1996. That act put in place a chief information officer structure across government, required modern investment management practices, required federal agencies to develop architectures so they could have interoperability and effective security systems put in place. And it really put in place a modern set of best practices that were being employed by the private sector. And this was based on research done by GAO and working with the Congress and the executive branch is to put that into effect. I also think these reforms have been tempered a little bit in terms of being implemented by the focus necessarily on Y2K preparations. But the benefits of Y2K was it also got managers' attention about the important role of information technology and the dependency on it for improving their operations. So technology holds the key to really reforming dramatically the federal government. Reforms are in place, but they need to be effectively implemented. And this will be a major challenge for the federal government going forward to improve its operations and also deal with important computer security concerns about protecting the information that the federal government receives from private citizens in an appropriate manner.
What other major changes do you envision in the government of the future?
The government of the future is going to have to be much more responsive and flexible to be able to change to the dynamics that are unfolding. Take globalization. We now in the United States are party to over 300 trade agreements and with the potential increases in world trade. World exports have doubled almost as a percent of gross domestic product over the past 10 years. Foreign investment in the United States has increased, which helps our economic development, but it also makes us vulnerable to changes in other economies. And so the federal government is becoming much more intertwined as the global interdependence increases. And it's transcending a number of different areas in the federal government. And so that is a challenge to the structures and institutions of government because it requires working across agency boundaries, across departments, and the federal government needs to create new structures and processes in order to implement that effectively. Also, changing demographics are going to profoundly change this country. By the year 2020, about 20% of the United States population will be 65 or older, up from about the current 13 or 14%. We could have as many people in this country 65 or older as we have 20 or younger. That will change the service requirements for the federal government and not only entitlement reform areas in Social Security and Medicare, but also transportation requirements and other attendant housing concerns. Also, the labor force, total labor force in the United States is becoming more diverse and not growing at an exceedingly fast pace, calling into question whether or not we'll have the necessary skills in the labor force to move as information technology and other demands call for a more highly skilled workforce, and that has attendant issues associated with it with regard to immigration and other issues. So, a lot of dynamics are at play right now, and the rapid pace of changes in technology combined with these other factors of globalization, changing demographics, really call for federal government to be more responsive, more focused on results and outcomes, and one that can operate across departments and agencies and not just within the traditional government structures of individual departments and agencies. A major challenge. I believe the federal government's up to it, and I think in a lot of partnership between the Congress and the executive branch that the federal government can be prepared to meet all these challenges very effectively.
Well, I'm afraid we're out of time, so we'll end there. I want to thank you very much, Gene, for spending time with us tonight. Pat and I have enjoyed the conversation very much.
I've enjoyed it as well. Thank you very much, Paul, Pat.
This has been the Business of Government Hour, Conversation with Government Leaders. I'm Paul Lawrence, a partner at PricewaterhouseCoopers and the co-chair of the PricewaterhouseCoopers Endowment for the Business of Government. To learn more about the endowment's programs and research, visit us on the web at endowment.pwcglobal.com. See you next week.